Our text this morning comes from towards the end of the chapter we read in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, and in verse 51. Jesus said to him, this is Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." There's a few different ways that people are getting ready for Easter, as it's called on our calendar. It comes in the Easter weekend, the holiday and so on, comes in just 2 weeks. Easter is what we call, gather together, that period when Jesus was killed on the cross, when he suffered, was killed on the cross, but rose again from the dead on the first day of the week. Mark chapter 10, from verse 32, tells us that Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. It was in order, and the following verses tell us, as he taught the disciples, the 12 particularly, he taught that the reason he was going up to Jerusalem was so that he would be handed over, suffer, be put to death, and then rise again on the third day. But as we see around this, and the following chapter especially, there were people had come to expect a great deal from Jesus. But again, it was in different ways. You see it in just the few verses that we read. James and John on one hand, Bartimaeus on the other. And then the following chapter tells us how Jesus came into Jerusalem surrounded by the crowds. People were expecting a great deal from Jesus by this time. But what I want to do today is to learn from this beggar and his spirit of prayer, though we do refer in something of a contrast to those disciples as well. It seems to me very like that story that Jesus told of two men who went to the temple to pray. And it was the one who bowed, humbled himself, cried out, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." He was the one who was justified, who had his request granted, as did Bartimaeus. When we look at Bartimaeus, I would like to point to, first of all, his clear mind on the matter, then his insistent call, thirdly, that he was given mercy, and finally, that he entered new life. So first of all, to talk about his clear mind, then his insistent call, then that he was given mercy, and lastly, his new life. I'm talking about his clear mind, first of all. See how quick he was to react. If you take up the story from verse 26, as Jesus, we understand that the road that he, from where he had begun his journey to Jerusalem, it passed through Jericho. He came to Jericho and then went out of Jericho, and there was, along with the great multitude, there was a man sitting begging beside the road. And whether, we don't know, it's not recorded that he asked who it was. There are other similar stories in a couple of the other Gospels, and the details are slightly different. But here, we don't learn of him asking who it was, but no doubt there was enough to provoke an interest. And when he heard who this was, he had a very clear idea who he was calling out to, and a very clear idea of what he was asking him for. My suspicion is that Bartimaeus, who's sitting beside the road begging, he had a lot of time to think. He was in a place where a lot of people passed by. People might have been coming out of the city saying, "Have you heard about this Jesus up there in Galilee, the things he's been doing? He's done them down in Judea as well." this kind of beggar, he wasn't one who was able to walk around asking for help. You'll come across some of these sometimes in different cities. But he was sitting waiting for people to help him, to be kind to him, to show mercy. He would seem to have time to think. He was probably ignored by many of the passers-by, just as beggars in London often are. But when he hears that this was Jesus of Nazareth, he shows every indication that he had heard of him before, and in a certain way that led him to use a different name for him. Not just Jesus of Nazareth, but Jesus, Son of David. He made that transition from, who is this, Jesus of Nazareth? It's a bit like if somebody was a crowd and you said, you couldn't see, and you said, who is it? And they said, it's Mrs. Windsor. And you would say, Your Majesty the Queen. You make that translation because you know the connections. Well, so does Bartimaeus. There's an immediate transition. He had a clear mind. He had put pieces together, perhaps over a period of time. There was something about this Jesus of Nazareth that told him this was the Son of David. Perhaps he had friends who put him there in the right place every day. Perhaps he'd talked to them about the passing news. Maybe they had talked about this Jesus, the things that he was doing, the healing that he was doing, casting out demons, and so on. But Bartimaeus has worked out who this Jesus was. And Son of David was a title not used very often, but a title that belonged to the Messiah, the expected one, God's anointed, who was going to be the Savior of his people. This was the one that Israel had been waiting for. Bartimaeus has concluded, that that's who this Jesus is. He uses that name, that he would be the Son of David. The authorities actually understood it that way. This Messiah, that's what they would have been teaching about the Messiah, that he was this great Son of David that God had promised. And whoever it might have been who had some kind of influence, who knows, perhaps his friends did sit and talk to him from time to time and discuss these things. But whoever might have had some influence on Bartimaeus, his mind was made up. He was very clear on this point. It does not necessarily mean that he understood the Messiah in the sense that you and I might understand it today, or ought to understand it. Not all that the Messiah was doing. He might not have known all those things. But he did know that the Messiah was going to bring great help, healing, salvation to his people. He knew that if anyone could do anything for him, the Messiah, this Son of David, could. In his most acute need. We don't see that straight away. He's crying out for mercy, much as he might have done to another passerby. But here in the crowd, he's crying all the more strongly that this Messiah, this Son of David rather, would help him. Already, I think there are indications that he's looking for something bigger than most acts of mercy. We don't know how much he knew. Many people around at the time only knew part or only held on to part of what it meant to be the Messiah, what they were expecting from him. You see that most clearly, I think, in the following chapter and the great crowds who expected him to ride in and to take over the rule of the land, of the nation. We don't know how much he knew, but he knew enough in the remarkable things that this Jesus had been doing, as John's Gospel elaborates, Jesus does in John's Gospel a number of times. If you don't believe the words I'm speaking, believe for the sake of the signs, the things you've seen me do. Or, in Bartimaeus' case, the things that others have seen him do and were telling him about, the witness that they gave to those words. But however much he understood or didn't understand, it was enough for him to cry out to this Jesus. In our kind of church, we do make a lot of understanding finer points of theology, and that's the way it should be. We come together week after week. We need to be building our understanding and our knowledge. But that growth in knowledge and more intimate knowledge, more detailed knowledge, a deeper understanding of fine points of theology and so on, they are not the prerequisite for God's mercy upon us. That's not all there is to faith. And the faith that this man showed reminds us of that. Faith is to put your trust in Jesus at whatever level of understanding you have. Find a door. Christ gave him a door. He took a hold of it. Instead of waiting for, well, I need to know more about this person. I need to investigate him more and so on. He had a moment and he took it. Come back to that in a moment, but Jesus said to him, it's your faith. He put faith in Jesus with what he did know. And he gained great blessing from it. Look at Christian. Pilgrim's Progress, we've been talking about it. We're not very far through. There's a vast amount of learning that he still has to do. There was a huge amount of learning that he did in Interpreter's House after he entered the gate. He learnt so much when he was in the Palace Beautiful after his sins were forgiven at the cross. But he would never have learnt those things if he had not exercised faith and followed the direction of the gospel in the first place. The little thing that he had, he took it, he followed it through, and he gained so much more. Many places that Jesus talks, he tells of those who had two talents, and he says to the one who has, to him will be given more, and so on. At whatever level of faith you have, whatever level of rather understanding you have, exercise faith on that basis. The thief on the cross beside Jesus, it was there and then, in those few moments beside this Jesus, that he recognized who this Jesus was, and he took a hold of him. He didn't have time in his life to go into finer theology, but he was accepted by Christ because he put his faith in him when he had that moment. Of course, if you have put your faith in him, you must grow. You must earnestly seek for continuing mercy. What did Bartimaeus know? He knew enough. At last he knew that there was someone here that he could rest his hopes in. It was still a desperate cry. Perhaps there's a sense in which even it was just what the world calls a hopeful cry. Will he do something? But it was the best opportunity he had. He knew that. He had a clear mind that this was the person he must prevail on. And so he does it with his insistent caller. Isn't it a wonderful, wonderful story in just a couple of verses? He cries out, he bursts into this orderly crowd, maybe not very orderly, but in comparison, milling along around Jesus, this celebrity almost. And then here comes this rude, rough voice, perhaps dusty because he'd been beside the road. Who knows? And this voice cries out, Jesus! Everyone's startled. Son of David! Why is he calling him that? Have mercy on me. Oh, Bartimaeus. Stop interrupting. Stop disturbing this great expedition. Stop it. Be quiet. But he cried out the more. I'm not going to stop. That's the man I need. I'm after him. I want him to stop. I want him to give me some attention. He wasn't going to be put off by proper people. Perhaps these were the same, at least they were the same type of those who tried to stop the children coming to Jesus on another occasion. Bartimaeus was a blind man. He was a beggar. He had nothing in this world to look forward to. He was past being nice on such an opportunity. And even if others didn't want to listen to him, he wanted to make sure that Jesus heard him. And Jesus did hear him. Bartimaeus was insistent. I wonder how well he knew his Old Testament. In Jeremiah 29, "You will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." How well did he know Isaiah, which Jesus himself quoted at the beginning of his ministry in Luke chapter 4? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord," much as we read elsewhere, "Now is the day of salvation." Apparently he had learned of some of the other great things that Jesus had done elsewhere. Why else would he cry out in such terms with such a need? But he was insistent, he was desperate. He would plow on regardless of others. And we talked about that the other night too, Christian. This was the person. This was the person he needed. Not just his own ideas, this person. He needed him. He had a very keen sense of his need. And isn't that one of the great issues that man has, that man doesn't recognize his need? Do you recognize your need? Not just on the first day of faith, but every day of faith. And the keener your sense of need, the more likely you are to ignore the niceties of society, culture, to pursue the person you need in order to resolve that need. It's better to be a beggar than self-sufficient. Better to be a beggar and seize the moment than self-sufficient and find some other way of doing it. A very insistent call, because he was clear in his mind that this was the person and this was his need that he needed mercy for. And so he was given mercy. The result of his repeated cry is interesting, I find, but Jesus didn't work his way through the crowd and work his way to Bartimaeus, but Jesus called Bartimaeus to him. He commanded that he should be called. One commentator points out a parallel. John talks about it in the 11th chapter, where Martha ran out to meet Jesus when her brother had died. And she ran out and met Jesus, and they talked for a bit, and then Jesus asked where Mary was. So Martha ran to Mary and said, "He's calling you." She took that message. And that is the way for this world, that men take the message to others, saying, "He is calling you." But isn't that a wonderful thing, where it begins with this man in his great need, recognizing at least something of this Jesus, and he calls out to him. Jesus gives him attention, and Jesus does the work, takes it from there. Jesus calls, effectively calls. That is a great theology. Jesus does that to those who are in need, often through others, mostly through others, through the Gospels recorded by men. You're not necessarily close to Jesus. You might not. Bartimaeus had not actually seen any of these great works himself. It would seem very likely he had never heard a word from Jesus before himself. He relied entirely on the witness of others. There's a world around us who says, "I'll believe if I can see him. I'll believe if he would come back, if he would come and meet with us." He has done, and we take that witness. Jesus said to Thomas, "You've seen me, it's a blessing for you. How much more blessed those who have not seen and still believe." That's Bartimaeus, to the extent he knew. Jesus knows need. He knows those who are helpless, and he does call. And when he called, what did Bartimaeus do? Well, he had great encouragement, be of good cheer. What a wonderful expression that is, and courage. Rise, he is calling you. What did he do? Verse 50. He dropped everything. This was the moment for life. I wonder if there might be something in your very busy program, your schedule for the week, and then something comes up and it's a lifetime moment. I can't think what it might be that would latch on with each of you, but this, you think, well, I'll never get a chance like this again. It's the thing that I've been most looking forward to in life, or would love to have had most. For some, it might be a visit to the palace, meet the Queen. For some, to the White House, or perhaps to get one of these driving experiences that you can get, and who knows, name it. The very best thing. And it's offered to you, no strings attached, it's yours if you want it. Once in a lifetime, you would drop everything. It's the Son of David. He is calling me. He threw off his garment. That's about all he probably had in life. Friends, it's the Son of God. He's calling you. Once and time and again, and every time he calls you to his service. What an honor. Drop everything. Is that the way we go through life? That's what Bartimaeus does. Because he knew he had a clear mind of his acute need. How often we're confused, how often our picture, our mind is blurred by so many things. But the very Son of God calls you. And if you have not yet come to him, he calls you. And Bartimaeus, in his actions, he's virtually saying, you try and stop me. I don't care how big the crowd is. Anyone try and stop me, he's the one I'm after. Perhaps he stumbled, perhaps he was quite clumsy because he was blind, but he was after this Jesus. He would come because he had heard the call. It's a great call of mercy. And then Jesus asks him a question, which is a question in mercy, out of his mercy. This whole passage is quite remarkable because he asks exactly the same words of Bartimaeus as he asked of James and John back in verse 36, but their opening had been so different. Bartimaeus cried out, have mercy on me, honoring him as the Son of David, the Messiah. James and John came to him, teacher, which is an honor in itself, but what a question. We want you to do for us whatever we ask. That in itself, even for somebody who doesn't know the heart of man the way that Jesus did, that's an alarm bell. Maybe some of you children go to mum and dad and say, Dad, I want to ask you something. Will you do it for me? It's a pretty good invitation to dad to say, well, with reservations, well, we're not sure. Wait and see. What is it you want? And that's what Jesus said to them. There's lots of indications that they had a plot. They were planning something. Not Jesus, not Bartimaeus. He says, have mercy. There was already an indication of where he was going. Bartimaeus could still have lost his opportunity. He could still have said, well, now I've got his audience. I could ask for anything. I could ask for his right hand when he comes into glory. I could ask for a new house all paid up for my family. They've been struggling, all sorts of things. But because of the way that the Lord has been, if you like, tying him in to mercy, he asks for mercy. He asks for the provision of his truly greatest need in his life at the moment. Rabboni, just this, nothing more. I want to be able to see, that I may receive my sight. There's great honor done to Jesus in the title, Rabboni, but also in such a dependent petition. He says, this is what I need. I can do nothing myself. Please, can you do something? Another beggar said to Jesus, you can heal me if you will. I think that's implied here too. Just that I may receive my sight, if you will. It's a call of mercy by Jesus to Bartimaeus. Jesus then asks him a question in the great spirit of mercy. What do you want me to do for you? And he gives him a response in mercy. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight. I think I find this a good insight into faith. There's nothing of personal strength here. Nothing whatsoever. It's not a matter of how strong your faith is. Simply that you put faith in Jesus. I know what people mean when they say the power of prayer, but it's a dangerous idea at times. It's not the prayer that's powerful. It's the one we pray to. It's not faith that should be strong, but it's faith in the one who is strong. That's what Bartimaeus has. Even with the limitations of understanding and knowledge, yet he says, he's the one. It is a gift to him. Under that call, it's an empowering call. But don't be chasing after strong faith as such, but talk instead of the one that you depend on. And it must be an utter dependence, complete. No half measures. I can do nothing but stand on this floor and put my faith in as it were. It carries quite a bit of weight. I can't do otherwise. I can't be hopping about saying, well, just for a time it might hold me up and so on. Utter faith. How much more with our God? Faith is perfectly reasonable. Bartimaeus had every reason to put his faith in this Jesus, knowing what he did of him. The world will tell you it's irrational, but it's perfectly reasonable. But it is also complete abandon. It can't be otherwise. It is to throw yourself upon him. That I may receive my sight. What a preposterous petition. In that world, for somebody who'd been a beggar as a blind man, but yet he asks the question. He asks for this gift. And remarkable though it is, that faith is a gift. Jesus chooses, as he often does, always does, to praise Bartimaeus for exercising the faith that he has. And he gives Bartimaeus what he asks for, and through that he is actually giving him even more than he asked for. He gives him new life as well. How did Jesus know this beggar who comes to him and asks, I just want to be able to see. I've been blind, maybe for life, maybe for a number of years. Just let me see. Jesus, how did he know what Bartimaeus would do once he received his sight? When you put a coin in the beggar's hat beside the road, do you know what he will do with it? Many are concerned that he will use it for hot food and coffee or something, and not waste it. Jesus did know what was in the heart of man, John tells us. But Bartimaeus has given so many indications of putting his trust in this Jesus. And Jesus says to him, go your way. More or less, you have it, now do with it as you see fit. Bartimaeus follows him. In that faith, according to his knowledge, understanding, he put his faith in this Jesus, he received mercy, and that mercy changed his life, not just his sight. When Jesus says your faith has made you well, it's more, it has made you whole. And it's very reminiscent, at least suggestive of more than physical healing. Remember, on other occasions, it tells us explicitly that Jesus not only healed their body, but forgave their sins. And there is something of that underlying this expression, your faith has made you well. Literally, the Bible, the translation says, has saved you. Bartimaeus, as he cried out to this Jesus, shows every indication of the soil of his heart being ready to receive more of God's word. He had already received a witness, the witness of the signs through the voices of others. He had responded. He was receiving more. And that's how faith works. It begins small with what you have. I suggest, let it stay small. Let Jesus loom large, as he did here. This Jesus, now I can see him. I'm going to follow him. We know nothing more of Bartimaeus. He doesn't appear again. Where did his life lead him in due course? But there was something of following Jesus, a new life that he also gained. The Lord will give you what you need. What you need. I quoted earlier when we were praying, Psalm 37, let your delight be in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, because that is him. He will give himself to you. He will give you your need. He will give the increase. He will give the growth. When Paul was praying for the Colossians, he tells of his prayer that they would grow in knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Augustine had a prayer that, or an expression, he said, it's, don't give me understanding that I may have faith, but faith that I may have understanding. These things will only be understood. Our growth, our understanding will grow when we do put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see that trajectory, that course in Bartimaeus and this brief encounter. So, in closing, we may be able to look at the disciples when they came. What a contrast. But Bartimaeus tells us, shows us, it is to come humbly. Humbly to God in Christ, believing, trusting, looking to him for your help. James chapter 4 quotes Proverbs and other places. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you come and you hear the things that we talk about on Sunday, you read the Bible yourself, and there are things that you don't understand, take what you do understand. Take a handle on that. When you go to your wardrobe, you don't have to manhandle the door off and put it somewhere to get into it. You take the handle and open the door. The little bit you can take a hold of. Use that. Get in. You might say, and many do say, well, I don't understand. Take what you do. And there is a fair bit you do understand. Ask what explanation can be found for it. Concerning this Jesus, and the Gospels tell you, believe for the works, believe for the words. They're consistent, they're true to our God. And there is only one explanation, that this Jesus of Nazareth is the one whom God has sent. He is the one, therefore, who can supply your needs. Most of all, that very deepest of needs. Romans, we've been looking at briefly as well through the past weeks. That great deep need of being enslaved to sin, that you find new freedom in him. Believe in him. Faith, such as it is in your life, call out, keep calling. He doesn't tire of your voice. Don't tire of his. But when he calls, and he does call, and he calls again now, seize the moment. Now is the day of salvation. You will receive mercy, grace to help in time of need. None of us will ever know everything. Don't wait till then. Jesus expects us to act on what we do know. Now is the day of salvation. Now you know that, if you didn't before. Come to him for his mercy. Now let us pray.